I make a motion to postpone until the next meeting.
Okay.
Who made the motion?
Postpone?
Susan.
Susan, okay. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any further discussion?
Jim, this is Stephanie.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, could I answer Grace's question with the appraisal that FJC had on KPSK was $4,650,000.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's with a point of information, please.
Go ahead, Beth.
You see what happens when you don't adhere to the rules, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, I see it.
Are we post? You should have. Well, you know, we don't have time for this. We can't have a debate. There's no time. So we should decide if we're objecting to postponing or have a vote on it or what.
Okay. It is a committee. I'm just going to relax it a little bit to take Beth's request.
Thank you. Yes, I would like to request that Stephanie provide both of the assessments or the appraisals to committee members in writing, please.
Waiting for Stephanie to respond.
Yes, no problem. I can mail everything. I submitted both of the appraisals to the National Board last week, so I can forward those same attachments to our Paul to forward to the committee now.
Could I please request that they each be mailed separately? Because when they were mailed together, they did never reach my box. They were
It was large.
Or if somebody can provide me with everybody's email addresses, because I don't have access to the group emails.
Beth, can you do that?
Everybody has a list of everybody's email on the committee.
Yes.
Thank you, Beth. Okay, so we have a motion to postpone. And now we need to take that vote. Oh, and we need to see if there's any objection. And do we want to postpone it to a time certain?
To the next meeting.
Yep. Okay. Is there any objection? Hearing none, that's done. Okay. I have to go back to the current agenda.
James, it's Kamau.
Go ahead, Kamau.
James, I have to step away. I've got to be over at the station to do some programming this evening. So we'll step away at this point.
Okay. No worry. Thank you for being here.
James,
thank you.
This is Chris. Can I have a personal privilege?
Go ahead, Chris.
I was just going to say that the reason that I voted against extending is I think everybody needs a little time to digest the provisions of both the motions, bear them themselves. It's a lot to take in, and I think we were well served in the postponement. So I just wanted to explain my vote, not that it was necessary. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now we're back to the rest of the agenda. Now we're going to move on to a discussion of zeroing out the central services arrearages for all of the units, which is the new number 8. Susan, you're the one that brought this to my attention. Do you want to make an opening here?
Yeah, and really, I think it needs to be an opening for a conversation with Stephanie. But and let me be clear about what the intent is that I have. It's not to wipe the records, and it would be to so we would keep the records about what payables are in arrears through the last fiscal year, 2022, but that we would not carry those payables forward. Why? One is the likelihood of paying them is slim. Two, there are disputes about what the accurate amount should be. I know that we at KPFT are disputing them. Three, they confuse what the actual payable obligations are that we have as a system that are critical, and the ones that are critical are those two third parties, FJC, the power companies, and then also our employees, where we have some deferred compensation that we are accruing. And fourth, I think we need to look at this in a whole new way. It's very clear the way that we have been budgeting and the way that we have been funding central services has failed. And I suggest that we revisit this rather than staying mired in arguments over the wreckage of the past. Thank you.
Susan, I have a question. You were the intention here, as I understood it originally, was to zero out the central services arrearages, but you were using the word payables in your motivation. Oh, can you clarify?
Well, yeah. I mean, and I don't know what the accurate term should be. What I mean is what was shown at September 30th, 2022, as the amount of central services owed, the debts owed by the five stations. And for that, I mean National Office and PRA.
So you mean all the units, not just the five stations?
No. Meaning the five stations, the central services that we owe, that the five stations owe, we don't bring those accruals forward into 2023 and have those as a debt that needs to be retired. Frankly, when we talk about, you know, what are the aged payables, we talk about these internal payables, we talk about the external payables. It is very confusing, and I think that it makes it harder for us to achieve stability and solvency, and for us to take a new look at what the relationship needs to be between the stations and the national office and the archives.
Okay. Is there anyone else who would like to be heard on this?
Chris at the stack.
I hear Chris. I know I was having a conversation with someone before the meeting who might have something to say, hoping to hear from that person.
R. Paul for stack.
Okay, gotcha, R. Paul.
Are you referencing me, James?
I'm not referencing anyone.
Yeah, I'm happy
would
to
like
talk.
Would you like to be on the stack?
I figured, yes,
please. And Julie to the stack.
And Julie. Anyone else? Why don't we start there? And you know, I'm sure it's going to spark a lot of conversation. Go ahead, Chris.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think we have time for this item, by the way. If someone would like to suggest time, that might be helpful because I could take several bites out of Apple.
In my original proposal that I apparently didn't send, it was 30 minutes. That's about all the time we have left in the meeting. And we do need to go to executive session for a couple of brief items in executive session.
Not to step on your toes, but I believe 30 minutes is the central services formula.
I'm sorry, Chris.
I believe the 30 minutes was for the central services formula, not for this item.
Yeah, and initially I had them 30 minutes for both items in the initial agenda, but it didn't have, you know, we didn't have the item about the spending of proceeds from the sale of the KPFK building, if that occurs. And so that's kind of thrown us off. So, the you know, the other thing we would do here is go, you know, the only other item on the agenda really is the central services formula itself. So why don't we just spend the time that we need to on this? And if we get to the central service formula, we'll do it. If not, we'll kick it down the road to next week.
Can I ask one more question? When do we need to adjourn to close session?
Pardon me, when?
Yeah, when do we need to adjourn to close session?
We didn't put a time on it, but I think we could probably do it in 5 minutes. They're very short items.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
So I object to this idea for several reasons. One is that this is kind of a whitewash of the organization. It doesn't really tell us where we're coming from or where we're going to, and it'll make it difficult to look back and figure out exactly what has happened with each individual station. I disagree that the obligations will never be paid, by the way. I think that's false. In the case of KPFK, I think it's pretty obvious the obligations will get paid through the asset sale. It just makes sense for that to happen. So KPFK is going to get the slate wiped clean. Other stations may get large bequests that could wipe out their central services obligations as well. Or they might have asset sales or signal swaps or who knows what. I'm just thinking that we're not thinking ahead very well. Furthermore, the central services is always a sub item on the financials. It's not hard to tell. It's all intercompany, has nothing to do with operations per se. It's actually kind of nice the way it is. And I'm not saying that central services should be completely ignored, but insofar as budgeting is concerned and insofar as determining what our actual accrued payables are, it's actually not that difficult to figure out, because we have top line stuff and central services. It's two completely separate things. I think the accounting is pretty accurate on the central services. I don't believe there's been much of a dispute about it. But, you know, I mean, it just doesn't seem to be to have any positive benefit. I can't figure out why we want to do this, you know. I understand that some people are claiming to be confused. I'm not confused, but maybe there's another way to alleviate the confusion than making it impossible to determine which stations are gainful over time. I don't know. It just seems like an odd solution to perhaps a non-problem or at least a very minor one. Thanks.
Chris, was that a question that you were asking about what, you know, what benefits would come from this or why we would want to do this? Because I have one small answer.
I'm curious about both the timing and the purpose of this. It puzzles me. I don't understand it. So,
I have one small answer for one reason to do this. it's minor, but it would avoid the necessity of having to go back and figure out who owes who what based on when new central services formulas were or were not implemented as passed by the PNB. And that's going to be a real headache to try and sort out. And we wouldn't have to do it if we did this. But that's a small potato compared to the other things. Okay. So we've had Chris, then our Paul.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I sort of relate to this a bit and say I am not 100% certain that the motion we passed about central the what we refer to here as the current central services formula, which is from it's last year, I think, something like that. I am not 100% certain that we that the PNB passed it. I know we passed it, but it was passed in a while ago. When did we pass this? In 2021. Early in 2021, we passed a central services formula. And I am not 100% certain that the PNB ever approved of that, because we've kind of talked about these things back and forth, and people have been using formulas that are different from this, simpler, but different from what we passed early in 2021, almost 2 years ago. So my question, since there are five directors here, did what the NFC passed in early 2021 ever get approved by the PNB? Or are we supposed to be working from something from years earlier?
I can say that, yes, the PNB did pass it. And it was just not implemented. However, yes, not only were we working from one formula from before, but there were actually two. And some stations implemented the second formula and some didn't. So it is a mess going back.
Well, yes, okay. I've done some calculations on what we passed. So if that passed the PNB, I don't know. People might want to do some calculations too. It's interesting.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, do you have a point of order, or where are you going?
Just a quick comment. KPFT disputes our what we are told we owe, and we will take that to the map.
Okay. You really should have waited for the stack for that, but we'll let it go.
I apologize.
That's okay. Okay, we're a committee. We're a little more informal. Parpal, were you done? I heard you being done, I think.
Yeah, I believe I'm done on that, though. So, well, yeah, I'm done for now. Go ahead.
Okay, now we go to Stephanie.
I think that really what is sort of confusing a lot of the groups, too, is how much, as you were saying, how much is owed, when it's determined, different people or different stations or divisions are using different formulas. Some divisions are saying that they overpaid certain things or they paid for bills that weren't theirs. And it's just very confusing as we're trying to figure out, who owes what. And because the numbers have gotten so large with some of the divisions, it's almost as if, the central services aren't taking that seriously because they realize, oh, we don't have to pay it anyway. The unpaid central services just keeps growing and growing and growing. I don't want to ever lose track of what people owe. I don't know if what is owed needs to be redetermined based upon whatever formula was ultimately decided upon, and that includes also central services to the archives. And there are certain central service payments that need to definitely be repaid that are pertaining to bills that were covered by the national office in hopes that they would get reimbursed. There's a lot of payroll in the past that was covered by the national office, health benefits that were covered by the national office, insurance for, board of directors or, taxes, whatever it may be that have been covered by the national office over the years. And then we'll just take that as credit for central services. And this is kind of where we are now, is that there's no, all of it has just been kind of play money. It appears it's just been kind of going back and forth. It just becomes so overwhelming, as I said, when I let them know or the divisions know what they owe, when your central service payments are upwards to, $455,000 or, $665,000 in one case, it becomes almost overwhelming. And I honestly do not know if, a station that owes $665,000 in unpaid central services, if that will ever get paid down or paid back. And it just keeps accruing, and it's never really taken seriously. So,
Stephanie, did I hear
really divide it up by the year, or figure out at what point who owed what for what? I mean, there's a lot of calculations that are going to have to take place to figure out who actually owes what and what was paid for by whom. You know, we have some groups too that, well, you know, they say, well, I covered this for that, you know, I covered this dollar amount for, you know, whatever payroll for this group, but then this group never paid me back, but we just subtracted it from central services. So then it's there's really no accountability for what everybody owes. But if we could just kind of start a fresh slate, maybe we have to have a whole other accounting system that's just for the unpaid central services and who covered what for whom. But I don't know how detailed some of the finances are going further back to see what that is. But, you know, it would be nice to be able to just have a clean slate on what our aged payables are. That include central services owed beginning this fiscal year in October.
Stephanie, could I ask you to make a distinction? It sounds like you're talking about two different things. One is central services that are owed, and the other is intercompany loans that are still owed, but that were, okay, they were deducted from the party
right,
that was owed from their central services.
Right.
But if
right.
we separate that,
some stations have paid a lot of the, you know, they've covered a lot of legal fees. So it's like, well, we'll just deduct those from central services. Well, they be just deducted from central services, they need to be paid back.
So it sounds like you're saying we should enforce the intercompany loans that were made, but then forgive the central services.
Correct.
Is that a simple way to put it?
Yeah, and it's not an easy task. This is not something that if it's decided, you know, this, to me, this is just something that's under discussion that needs to be discussed further. Because hearing other people's comments, you know, it's like, oh, okay, yeah, well, wait, that makes sense. Oh, wait, yeah, that, you know. So to me, this is something that still needs a lot of discussion and determining, you know, moving forward on paper, we can just say the unpaid central services are from fiscal year 23. So we have better track this fiscal year. And then we try as a group or, you know, to try to unravel everything that's past due rather than just continually carrying over. Well, earlier in the month, it was unpaid central services. This was as of December 8th, $1,461,000. Unpaid central services to the archives, $387,000. So it just keeps growing and growing and growing. And, you know, it's very easy for the stations to just say, oh, I don't have to pay, you know, I'll just deduct that from my central services. Just, you know, just add it to my tab. Well, there's at one point the bar closes. We just can't keep adding stuff to people's tabs.
Good analogy. Were you done, Stephanie?
Yes.
That's great. Julie.
Point of information.
Okay, well, we wait for Julie. Go ahead.
Just the bar's closing, so is this last call right now?
Julie, are you within earshot?
Yeah, I am. You know, I think the thing that I just wanted to point out is that Kamau and I were talking about this a little bit before. I realized he had to leave, but we were talking about this a little bit before the NFC meeting began. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was the fact that there's somebody at WPFW who also provides services to the national office, but WPFW covers that person's full compensation. and we were supposed to be being credited towards our central services for that. And I'm not sure that that accounting was ever done appropriately. I don't honestly really know the answer to that question. But one of the things that we also talked about was the possibility of, to the extent that we have those kinds of arrangements going forward, that if something really should be paid for by the national office, that it simply gets paid for out of a national office account, you know, where, regardless of that, we have this kind of like who's borrowing from who kind of accounting, that we keep that accounting, but that we really truly make the payments, technically speaking, on an accrual basis, where they're really supposed to come from. And so Kamal and I both feel pretty strongly about that, because that's the only way we're going to ever, you know, kind of get our accounting completely in order, is if we do it that way. So thanks. I know that was a little bit, you know, kind of not totally central to this, other than the fact that I think part of what we should do if we do this is also have a plan for what we do going forward.
Yeah, well, I'm going to respond to you and say that it's actually an example of how complicated it all is, and how, you know, going back and figuring out who owes what in central services is a monumental task. I'll add a little piece to that, and that is that a person who was doing some work for the national office around the network was for some time, actually quite some time, was getting part of his payment through WBAI's payroll. And I don't want to specify too much more because it'll reveal who we're talking about. But and WBAI management wasn't even aware of that because it was being handled through NETA's payroll services, and we didn't even know we were paying for it, but there it was. Lots and lots of complications here. Simplifying would be a good thing to the extent that we could do it. Okay, so now we can take some more people for stack. Who is that?
Susan on the stack.
Susan. Anyone
R.
else?
Paul again.
R. Paul.
And
anyone else? Chris,
one more time.
Go ahead. I got you, Chris. Anyone else? Let's start with Susan.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that there is no motion on the floor. I did not put forward a motion. The conversation that we're having is what I hoped we would have. And it goes both to the question of, you know, what are central services going forward? Because it's like, you know, it's who's providing services to whom, who owes whom, and that we can perhaps establish simpler rules going forward, but disentangling the past is a whole separate issue. But this
Indeed.
Conversation relates to both. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. R. Paul?
Okay. All right. BAI, of course, is always getting cited for not paying its central services fees. Two things on that, one of which is, we didn't for a while, and it goes back, and they said, we have been made to backfill central services for time going back. Meanwhile, if anybody wants to go look at the financials from 2019, if you look in, I think it's July, somewhere in the summer, but probably July of FY19, you will discover a very large amount of money that suddenly is existing in Pacifica. Suddenly this revenue showed up, well over $500,000. And there's some other stuff too. And really, those of us at BAI know that this was money that was given to BAI and then goes to Pacifica, specifically the national office. And we never got credited for that as central services. It wasn't stains on paper. It wasn't fake money. It was real dough that landed in Pacifica. Never got credit for that. So we've got well over $500,000 that we never got credited for, and we're being told you still need to backfill. And this is a problem. So the accounting is a real issue. On top of which, I did some you can't really call it back of an envelope calculations, but and I can send this out to everybody. Going by the motion that said what the central services fees would be and what the deductions would be, going by that, it sort of looks to me like for FY22, going through the financials from August, it looks like up to then WBAI's 15% of revenue up to that point would mean BAI would owe $169,000 in change for up through August. And if you then take away the rent that we're supposed to take away, that means BAI's rent total was $199,000, which means there's a $30,000 difference, which is $30,000 negative central services. So we got to figure some of this stuff out because, you know, going after stuff that's from years ago that really is paid is kind of crazy driving. And for FY22, for also I think most of FY21, we've had this formula that should have been done differently. I've done it for all the stations. It's very fast. Maybe somebody will find a great flaw in what I've done. But if you multiply 15% times total revenue and then take away the rent, there isn't a whole lot of central services that are owed by anybody, I don't think. So, yeah, the accounting needs to be looked at. And I would say let's try to zero stuff out and start again and see if we can make it. And if not, then we need to maybe revisit six figures from a certain station that are not getting credited. Thank you.
This is Grace for the stack.
Thank you, R. Paul. Grace, I got you. We have Chris next. I'm going to put myself after Grace. Go ahead, Chris.
Okay. First of all, R. Paul, the deduction was on the expense side, not on the central services side. So what it effectively does is gives you 15% of the rent back. So it's 15% of $190,000 or roughly $200,000. So it gives you a $30,000 credit. Otherwise, you're right. It would be absolutely absurd to give central services credit for rent. I mean, that would basically mean that the national office wouldn't get paid. That's kind of effectively what it would mean. So, yeah, that was never intended, and James and I discussed it at length. So we even did sample calculations for it. So it's all out there. But, yeah, the accounting is a little bit more cumbersome, particularly because it revolves on a three-month cycle, which I really didn't like. That was a last-minute addition to the proposal. I would rather it renewed annually. That would make things far simpler. I think fundamentally we need to talk about what central services are. There's where the discussion should probably start. What are they? What are they used for? And I don't mean, you know, I think that, you know, we can get a nice answer from Stephanie on that, but that's not what I mean by it. I guess what I mean more generally is what should they be used for, right? I mean, central services are stuff that the national office needs to do for the foundation itself, for the corporation, that the individual stations can't do for themselves, or when aggregating the costs, or our costs that are shared by every single one of the states. Those are the two kind of primary areas. Like interest on the loan is a good example. That should probably be something that goes through the national office. Why? Well, because the national office actually has the obligation. The foundation has the obligation. Legal fees, I think, I would argue, should go through the national office. I know people want to foist them off onto individual stations. I get that. I understand. Part of it is retributive, and part of it is just, you know, it just sounds right. But a station can't sue. A station can't, you know, it's the foundation that is responsible for our legal affairs. Anyway, we really should have a discussion first about what central service is and what it's supposed to be doing. I think that's really important. And then we can aggregate the expenses that are associated with central services into central services and hopefully not get into any of these side discussions anymore about what they're supposed to be doing and how these numbers are supposed to move around. I think we're kind of working this entire thing backwards personally. So I really would like to have that discussion at some point. I haven't ever heard it. Half the people in this organization, or maybe more than that, can't describe what central services do. Producers, people that work in the station, they resent central services taking revenue away from the station. They don't understand it. You know, I mean, it would be nice if it were down in some sort of a document that people could look at, very formal. The way it is now is very helter-skelter, and it's a mess. I agree. It's a mess. It's a mess that can be untangled. I would prefer to thumbtack it and move forward personally rather than forcing the accounting to all reconcile and get it all dotted, I's dotted and T's crossed. As many people have pointed out before, it's an internal matter anyway, right? Central services is movement of funds from one division to another. Doesn't matter to the consolidated statements. We've talked about this a million times. We can put a thumbtack in it and move forward, and that's cool. Maybe an alternate suggestion to wiping the slate clean and messing everything up, transferring huge amounts of assets from one division to another, just because we want to burn it to the ground. I can understand that instinct, but I think it's a bad one. Anyway, I think there are a lot of proposals that we could make here, but first we need to understand what we're doing. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Was that a suggestion for the – hold on one second. Was that a suggestion for the agenda next time, Chris?
Yeah, I would like to – you know, that should be part of the central services form as we start out with a discussion of what the services is. Yes. Please.
Okay. Now I heard a few voices there. I heard Susan. Is this a request for information or a point of order? Or you just want to be on the staff.
On what? Yeah, just on the staff.
Okay. And did I hear another voice? Perhaps not. Okay, Grace. And by the way, folks, before we go any further. I want to ask for a motion to extend the meeting for 10 minutes because we're now coming up on our time certain for the meeting, and we do need to go briefly into executive session for those couple of items. Is there any objection to extending for 10 minutes the meeting? Hearing none, thank you. We'll do that. Go ahead, Grace.
Yes, building on what R. Paul had to say, I wanted to add that in reviewing the profit and loss statement and the accounting for the stations, I found, along with Eileen Rosin, significant errors, particularly regarding, this is in 2019, particularly regarding WBAI, there was a little line item, bank fees, that was incredibly large for WBAI. And it turned out that the NETA was putting the entire interest payments due on the FJC loan as an expense for WBAI. Also, the rental amount, the office rental amount, was doubled improperly and incorrectly in the WBAI books, making it look like the expenses for WBAI were over $500,000 more than they actually were. So that was rectified. Also, there were added amounts for the rent at WPFW, so there were some errors there also, not as large errors. We had to suspect that making the WBAI books look worse than they were, and we can add to that what our Paul just said, added more argument to justify the shutdown of the station. So I would say that I'm not even certain that we caught every error in the bookkeeping at that time. But I'd like to say that, yes, there are errors in the past, and I don't know if I would trust the National Board did rectify a lot of that with a motion that we passed back in late 2019 or early 2020 to be more fair, because putting the entire debt to the Empire State Realty Trust on WBAI's books, which had been done, was unfair, because that decision to encumber Pacifica in that way was not made by WBAI, but was made by the National Office way back in the early 2000s. So, yes, there are probably embedded errors in the central service amounts owed by the various stations over the years, and also other discrepancies. For instance, the National Office was paying, NETA was paying the legal bills, very high legal bills for KPFK, instead of charging back those legal bills to KPFK. That was rectified eventually, but the National Office never got any kind of satisfaction. It paid a lot of legal bills for KPFK, and that doesn't show up as an expense on KPFK's account. That's
point of order.
Anyway, so there are
point of order. There are a lot of there are some confidential matters that are being brought up here that could be viewed as being defamatory of folks. So getting into all of these war stories is problematic.
Right. You're saying
I'm going to object to, I also think this doesn't have much. We all understand that there are keeping errors. We get that. But I'm not sure that that has anything to do with services, other than possibly undermine the possibility that those figures are actually accurate.
Okay, so Chris, that's actually not a point of order. I understand your point, but that would not be a point of order. Susan was saying a point of order, which was that there might be some, personnel issues being handled in a public manner. So I'm going to say, that's water over the dam. Grace, could you just wrap up? We are.
I'm finished.
At
I'm
time.
Finished. I'm finished.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, on the staff, I was on the staff.
Yeah, Susan, I have myself first, and then you, and then
okay.
We really do have to go to our executive session. So I am just going to reiterate a lot of what was said. I did some rough calculations myself back in the day and came up with, during that period of time when the $500,000 came in from a WBAI listener to the National Office, we also had a $200,000 gift to WBAI itself, which we from the same person, which we just shipped straight to the National Office. But as our Paul said, since we're always backfilling, people were still going around saying WBI doesn't pay any central services. There was even a person making campaign statements about that during an election. So this is a PR problem. And I wanted to ask Stephanie, in terms of this, all of these arrearages that are on the books for central services, and the way people talk about it within Pacifica, pointing the finger at each other, this one is bad, that one is bad. Does that, I think over time, I can clearly see where that's had an effect on donors. And I'm just wondering if in your opinion, does that have an effect on lenders as well? And, when you go out there seeking grants or, seeking donations from people, do you get feedback about, you're so much in debt, or this station is so bad because they're in debt, and these PR kinds of questions are coming up rather than the actual, the real numbers. Like, as was said, this is all internal stuff. When we talk about a station being, you know, $8 million in debt, if it's mostly internal, that can be a real turnoff, I think, for donors. What is your experience, Stephanie, particularly?
Well, I talk about Pacifica Foundation as a whole. I don't go in and talk about, you know, when I'm talking about the stations, when I'm talking about Pacifica, all of the stations are great. All the divisions are doing a great job. It's wonderful. None of the internal back and forth is ever discussed because I'm representing the foundation as a whole. And that's the umbrella. And we have all these, you know, divisions underneath that are working together to make Pacifica a better, stronger company. So none of that goes into play. But what goes into play is, why are you in debt? Why can't the national office pay for this? You know, so it's looked at from the outside standpoint, almost like a franchise, you know, and so that's the corporate and business world. But when you're talking with foundations, that's what they're looking at, you know, also is that franchise organ, you know, franchisees are paying to the company. Or, you know, even when I was with the YMCA, each of the YMCA branches pay to the corporate office, and then they, or they play to their local office, and then they pay also to their national office. So foundations understand that that's how it works when you have an organization that has a lot of divisions underneath it. So I never talk about specifically any of those internal details, but just try to answer generically why we're having, you know, cash flow issues, but we're asset, you know, asset rich, but we're working on our programming and we're working on building our infrastructure, and this is our long-term plan. So it does have an effect, but, you know, I talk around it from a business standpoint rather than bringing up anything internal. Where it damages is internal between conversations and committees, LSVs, volunteers, when stuff gets brought up in town hall meetings, you know, where people start picking on other stations. And that's where it becomes an issue then internally.
Yeah, Stephanie, could I just redirect your answer just a little bit? As I wasn't really asking whether you are doing this when you're talking to donors or, you know, going outside for PR purposes. What I was wondering is, have you had any experience with donors being turned off by all the finger pointing, obviously, and also the talk about, you know, one owes this much and one owes that much, and this one is bad and that one is worse. Have you experienced yet, which I think I have, where donors are saying it's because of that kind of stuff that they don't want to contribute?
I haven't run into that with foundations or individual donors that I'm speaking to that are not familiar, so that aren't as personally familiar with Pacifica. I've been meeting with people that are supportive of community radio, and they're looking at the overall financial picture. But a lot of the internal back and forth is strictly that, internal.
Yeah, and I just think it has reduced our pool of potential donors among people who may still be internal, but they're not donating in the way that they might have in
correct.
The past.
Some
or
of our lapsed donors, yes, I would agree with some of our lapsed donors who have been privy to some of the conversations and, you know, town hall meetings and LSB fights and those sort of things.
Right. Okay, thank you for that. And Susan, you're going to have the last word on this so we can go to executive session. I hope you can not follow my example and make it short.
I will be brief.
Thank you.
First of all, Chris said he disagreed with me, but then he stated what I had intended perfectly. So thank you very much, Chris. Now, putting a pin in it and sorting out where we go forward is what I was recommending. The second thing is, I think you're, again, right on the money. We need to know what central services are supposed to be. We need to be able to explain it to each other and to the people who work for us. And all of this conversation is a clear demonstration that there is a boatload of confusion, that there are arguments over what has happened, what should have happened, and disentangling this is a source of enormous rancor. We have demonstrated that brilliantly in this meeting tonight. So I hope we can move forward in a different way.
Okay, on that note, unless there's any objection, I'm going to declare this portion of the meeting adjourned. Do I hear any objection? Okay, I'm going to declare this part of the meeting adjourned, and I'm going to ask Fred, if he can hear us, to take us off the stream so that we can do some quick business in executive session.